The Tennis Gambling Podcast on the Sports Game Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick 'em for a chance to 100 times your money in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up to Underdog Fantasy using the promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. And welcome, everybody, to the Tennis Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Game Podcast Network. It is currently late Tuesday night, roughly 11 p.m. Eastern time on April 30th. I'm Rosso with Scott Rochelle once again going solo for this pod. I promise you I try to get earlier episodes, and here we are on a Tuesday night as opposed to Wednesday morning. So we did record before midnight. Brief pat on the back for myself. We're going to try to keep it rolling. Apologies once again about the past couple of episodes being very late. So I'm trying to work on that, but hopefully this is a better time slot. Now, I would record even earlier if I could, but unfortunately, I do have to wait for the actual lines to come out on all the matches, so that does take a couple of hours, and then you have some actual playoff games starting. You have the Knicks blowing a six-point lead with 26 seconds left or so. A lot of chaos in sports tonight, so either way, point is, did manage to at least hit the record button before it was officially Wednesday. Now, for the actual episode, going to preview the quarterfinals in Madrid. So the schedule is kind of interesting for Madrid because we have two quarterfinal matches on Wednesday and two on Thursday. So they divided it up that way. So we're not going to have an episode on, Wednesday night or Thursday morning. That's not going to be in the cards. So just keep that in mind. The quarterfinal matches have been divided into two separate days. Now, the matches for Wednesday are going to be Rublev and Alcaraz and Fritz and Cerundolo. First match will be taking place at around 10 a.m. Eastern time, and the second day of the quarterfinals will feature Medvedev and Laheshka, and Sinner and Felix. Not sure what the order is going to be there. Now, before we get into any of the recap for the round of 16, do want to remind everybody once again to like, subscribe on YouTube, or rate and review the podcast on Spotify or Apple. Appreciate all the feedback, by the way, involving the thumbnail on YouTube. I will be sticking with the new thumbnail. We had to tweak it a bit because it wasn't exactly compatible with one of our platforms, but the point is we are going to be doing a new wrinkle on the thumbnail. So if you listen to it on Spotify or Apple, you don't care what I'm saying right now, but if you're listening to it on YouTube, then first of all, hi, nice to see you. We have a live chat, by the way. So if you do catch the actual live stream, you are able to chat in it, and I will respond to your messages. So just keep that in mind. But the point is, thank you to all the people that responded in the comments section of the last episode about the thumbnail. I appreciate it. Also, a reminder to check out the SGPN merch store for Tennis Gambling Podcast merch. So we have a lot of great shirts. We have mugs, a lot of great ways to support the show, and a lot of high-quality merchandise you can buy to support the show. Also, a reminder, though, we have other shows with the network that have their own merch as well on the merch store. 20-plus shows that focus on gambling, and a lot of them on specific sports, and it is playoff time, and you have a lot of great NBA content for the NBA Gambling Podcast, a lot of great NHL playoff content for the Hockey Gambling Podcast, so make sure to check out both podcasts. I'm also on the NBA show, in case you were not aware. Plus, it is officially Derby Week on the Sports Game Podcast, so tune in as the guys get you ready for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. I still have to get into the actual handicapping for the Kentucky Derby. Haven't done it yet. I probably will. I don't know if I'm going to actually bet that much on it. Maybe a fun superfecta or something. But either way, should be a fun weekend, I'd say, event taking place for about 2.5 minutes, give or take. Either way, want to briefly go through the actual lock and dog picks. Then we're going to segue into the full recap of the round of 16 matches on Tuesday. Starting off with the actual lock and dog picks, overall decent episode. I ended up winning the lock, did lose the dog, had Laheshka on the money line at minus 110 as my lock. Laheshka didn't get broken in the entire match. Main reason why we took him was because we thought that his serve would dominate, especially after Nadal got to see Katchen serve for about 3 hours, which is an absolute gift. Katchen can't serve to save his life, and Laheshka's a really, really good server, and he dominated. I believe the serve numbers, though, we're like borderline, I'd say, Isner Karlovic level, if the stats that I have in front of me are correct. So to go through the actual stats for the serve, I'd say the first serve for Laheshka, because the second serve was not very good. Laheshka's first serve percentage was 74%, which is absolutely nuts. He was hitting about three quarters of his first serves. He won 88% of his first serve points. 42 of 48. I don't care who you are. If you serve that well and you end up winning that many first serve points, you're going to win automatically. And that's what happened with Laheshka as he ended up winning 7-5, 6-4. I will admit, though, I did get a bit cute behind the scenes. I did try to put in a parlay, and one leg was the Nadal win first set, Laheshka to win the match angle at plus 750. That didn't get there, as Laheshka did win 7-5 in the first set and eventually won in straights. But the point is, we did end up winning with the actual lock. I made about half a unit on that. It would have been a full unit, but I ended up burning something in a parlay on the same match. Either way, though, a nice win there for the lock. For the dog, I was torn between two picks, and it actually didn't matter, because both of them would have lost. It was the over 2.5 sets in the Griekspor and Rublev match. Thought about the over 2.5 sets in the Bublik and Medvedev match. That one would have been closer, but either way, they both ended up ending in straight sets. So ended up picking up a loss there either way. Rublev dominated, simply put. I backed the head-to-head angle, and that did not get there, as Rublev definitely looks like he's back into top 10 form. Very fun upcoming match with him and Alcaraz, so that should be very exciting. But once again, won the lock, lost the dog. Could be worse, but Laheshka was that good. Nadal, we're going to have to talk about once again briefly. Overall, I thought he played okay on his first day on a back-to-back with no rest in between after a three-hour match. Was he great? No. Honestly, great Nadal is probably behind him, but I know a lot of people are going to bet him blindly in the French Open. If you're going to do that, maybe in the first round. But do I see him making a realistic deep run to, let's say, the quarters in the French Open? No, I do not. I think that Nadal physically is not able to handle these marathon matches kind of stacked on top of each other. And the serve has been abysmal. I think he's had no aces in back-to-back matches. So the serve is really hurting him. And the movement, of course, is still good for him, but at this stage in his career, but definitely not good enough to actually intimidate his opposition like he did for, I don't know, 15 plus years or so on clay, probably longer at this point. But Nadal is going to be a sucker play, as far as I'm concerned, for the rest of his career, for the sake of betting outrights to win events, etc. I don't think he has the stamina and the overall durability to win an ATP event, and I think he's going to be a very popular pick to be a Cinderella maybe in the French Open. There's two ways it's going to go. Either Nadal's going to be given massive odds and people are going to bet on him because he's Nadal, or B, he's going to be a very cheap price and it's going to be the dumbest price you've ever seen. So either way, the point is Nadal, as far as I'm concerned, is not an auto fade in the French Open, but I'm definitely going to stay away because I don't know where you can possibly find value unless you bet on him on a round-by-round basis and go from there. So once again, Nadal, he tried his hardest. In the words of Linkin Park, he tried so hard, he got so far, but in the end, doesn't even matter. A loss in straight sets, good win there for Laheshka. Time to get into the actual recap for the round of 16 matches, though. Mentioned Medvedev winning in straight sets, fun match there. Rublev won in straight sets against Griekspor. Fritz ended up beating Hurkacz in straight sets. Did like the under 2.5 sets at minus 145. Anytime under 2.5 sets is below minus 150, you kind of have to consider auto-playing it because it is very difficult to actually get a three-set match to go three sets because you need one guy to struggle in the first set and then turn it on in the second set. That didn't happen as Hurkacz lost the first set in a breaker, then basically immediately got broken in the second set and could not break Fritz. So either way, ended up winning that one 7-6, 6-4. Cerundolo pulled off the upset, though. One of our outrights went kaput, as you ended up seeing Zverev lose in straight sets to Cerundolo. Very good performance by him. Nice to see Cerundolo playing good tennis. He was the victim of a lot of very close losses early in the year, not exactly in great form, and now he's potentially going to make a semi in the Masters 1000 event here. So props to Cerundolo. Nice showing there. Look good. You had the Alcaraz match I'll save for later. Sinner ended up beating Kachanov. If you ended up backing my angles for the Kachanov match, Sinner did play, so it was a bit of a sweat. Sinner did win the match, but I don't believe he covered the spread, and I don't believe he ended up really covering anything in this match besides the money line. Ended up winning the games by 4. I believe the spread was 4.5. I don't remember. The over ended up getting there. The Kachanov team total got there, and Kachanov to win a set, which was my main play in that match, at plus 115 did get there. So nice win basically on that lean. On top of that, we also ended up talking about Kachanov to potentially win the quarter if Sinner was going to drop out, and that did not work out, as Sinner ended up, of course, winning the match. But Kachanov ended up taking advantage early of a compromised Sinner, and then Sinner got back on track. Luckily for Sinner, though, the quarters are divided amongst 2 days, and he is on the second day. So he will have a day off on Tuesday, or I should say Wednesday, and we'll see how he looks on Thursday. But overall, Kashanov did cash every bet that we possibly had in that match, besides the money line. Besides that, though, moving on to the next match, you had Felix upsetting Rude, which kind of shocked me. Good one for Felix there. First, I was competitive. I believe Rude had a couple of break points, failed, and then Felix ended up getting the boomerang break as he ended up getting a break to end the first set. Then he broke early in the second set and turned into a bit of a battle there, but he eventually held on and won 7-5. But to get into the main match of the day, you had Struff and Alcaraz, the rematch of last year's final. Very, very fun. Alcaraz got out to an early lead. He was up 6-3 in the first set, and then in the second set, he looked like he was going to potentially close the door because he was up an immediate break. He was up 6-3, 1-0, and then he gave up the break at 2-1. Then he ended up having a 3-1 advantage in the tiebreak, and you figured, okay, Alcaraz will find a way to close this out. He didn't. In fact, Fritz ended up winning the next, 5 points in the breaker, he went out. He went from 1-5 to 6-5. Then he ended up losing the next 2 points, won the last point to win the breaker 7-5. Then you had absolute chaos in the back end of that third set. Alcaraz went up a break at the 1-2 service game. So he was up 3-1. He was up actually 5-2, but only one service game. And you ended up seeing him have triple match point on his serve at 40-love. 40-love in front of the home crowd while serving for the match. And he blew it. He ended up blowing all three set points. Then he had another set point at advantage. He blew that one too. Struff fought off four match points, ended up breaking back, held serve, actually had a break point at 5-5 to potentially serve it out for Struff, which would have been crazy. But Alcaraz fought it off, and eventually he ended up winning the breaker 7-4. So Alcaraz choked, but he held on to win. So good for him, did enough to win the match. But either way, point is, fun match, match of the day. And now we move on to the quarterfinals. So once again, starting off with the actual schedule in order, the first match will be on Rublev against Alcaraz, which is kind of crazy to have as the early match. I don't know why that's the early match. Fritz Cerundolo is the late match. That's kind of absurd. But either way, it should be a fun one. And looking at the actual odds here, Rublev is a dog, a pretty sizable dog here. Alcaraz -495. Rublev is +390 for the actual spread. Alcaraz -4, Rublev +4. Over under games 22 flat. The set wagering, Alcaraz in straight sets is -140. Rublev in straight sets is +110. The over 2.5 sets is set at +165. Now for the head-to-head, it's been interesting between the two of them because you're looking at the actual head-to-head meetings and it is tied 1-1. Now none of the meetings were on clay. Faced off in the ETB finals last year and Alcaraz won in straight sets. Faced off in 2022 in the World Tennis Championship and Rublev did win 6-2, 6-1. I believe that's an exhibition event though. The problem that I have with Rublev is the fact that Alcaraz struggled a lot against Struff's serve and volley tactics. Rublev really doesn't volley, ever. So the question is, do I think Rublev can outlast Alcaraz in a baseline rally battle? Maybe for a set, I think +110 might be appealing for a set, especially after Alcaraz had a marathon in the round of 16 with no day off in between. I just have questions about Rublev's mental toughness. I think that Alcaraz will be able to wear him down. I think I'm going to lean to Alcaraz to get the job done in... do I think Alcaraz loses a set here? He might. I mean, I don't mind the over in theory, but I think Alcaraz will end up winning this game by basically exactly 4. So I really don't have an angle for this match. Apologies. Trying to think of something here. I mean, I don't necessarily mind the 3.5 games on Alcaraz. You can find a decent price. I don't want to lay 160. Maybe in a live bet if Rublev serves first and he goes up 1-0 or 2-1 on serve. Maybe he can get 3.5 at a better number. But I think Alcaraz probably wins. I think that Rublev might win a set, so maybe get a battle on your hands. But I really just cannot pick against Alcaraz, the 2-time defending champion. And Struff, the one area he succeeded in against Alcaraz was the serve and volley with his big serve. Rublev never volleys. So I think that's going to hurt him in this matchup. Give me Alcaraz to get the job done. Probably by 4 games exactly. He might end up going over 12.5. He might go under 12.5 for the team total. I'm not really sure. But I don't see much value. I feel like this line's pretty sharp. Moving on, To the next matchup, though, you have Cerundolo against Fritz. Cerundolo is a dog, but not as big as Rublev, obviously. Fritz is minus 180. Cerundolo is plus 160. For the game spread, -2.5 for Fritz, +2.5 for Cerundolo. Game total is 22.5. For the set wagering, the over 2.5 sets is around plus 120, plus 125. And for team totals, Fritz over 12.5 is minus 135. Cerundolo over 12.5 is plus 105. Now, for this matchup, the faceoff one time in the head-to-head was in the French Open last year. Cerundolo did win in four, lost the first set, and won the match. Now, Cerundolo has been in great form, ended up beating Zverev in straight sets on Tuesday, ended up beating Paul in three sets, and beat Morozin in straight sets. Fritz has been great, though. He's not dropped a set, beat Dardari in straight sets, beat Baez in straight sets, and beat Hurkacz in straight sets. But I do think Cerundolo's alive to win this. I think that you're looking at what should be a close battle. I like the over. I know it's at plus 125, so I might try to get a bit cute with it. Maybe like an over in games, maybe a team total, if you prefer that. But shop around, try to find a better line than plus 120 or plus 125. I just see a close matchup here. Both guys have won most of their matches in straight sets. I cannot, once again, just overstate how impressive that straight set win is against Zverev on clay. Fritz beat Hurkacz. I know Hurkacz won a clay title in Estoril, but he's not a great clay player. Beating Baez is impressive, but Baez can't serve. I see Cerundolo hanging in there. I think he might actually win this match, but I do think for the sake of the matchup, give me the over for the games at 22.5. Give me the +2.5 for Cerundolo. I think he can win this match, but over 2.5 sets would probably be my guess for this matchup. Not enough value, though. So give me the over and give me the dog plus the games. Moving on to the matches for Thursday, you have Felix taking on Sinner. Sinner is at minus 291, very cheap price. Felix is at plus 241. It's very cheap for Sinner standards, is what I meant. Sinner's -3.5 games at minus 106. Felix +3.5 at minus 114. Over under set at 22.5. For the set wagering, Felix won in straight sets is minus 105. Felix won ace set is minus 125. Over 2.5 sets is plus 150. For this one, I think I might go a bit, I don't want to say contrarian, but I feel like the line on Sinner is a bit off to me. I understand that Sinner's hip is bothering him, and I understand that he has not exactly looked that sharp. He ended up losing a set to Kachanov in the round of 16, and I get that Felix has been very good here. However, the day off, I think, is extremely important for Sinner. And I do think that Sinner, who is the best player in the world as far as I'm concerned, the fact that he has an extra day to rest the hip, I think is massive. And I think you're looking at Sinner potentially looking sharp here. And I feel like these lines are kind of indicative that Sinner is going to still be well below 100% and his form is going to be in question. Sinner was potentially not going to play in the match against Kachanov, and he's still 1-3. Kachanov's a good clay player, so that's still a good win there. I think Sinner's straight sets at minus 105 is a bit cheap, because if Sinner was fully healthy, there's no way he's minus 291. He would easily be like minus 450, if I had to guess, minus 400, just based on his current form. He's lost, what, two matches the entire season? Three matches the entire season? I think it's two. I can't really go against him. Felix, who knows, a head case, but I do think that Sinner will be able to get the job done. Minus 105 for Sinner in straight sets. If there was no day off, I might lean to Felix, but that extra 24 hours is massive. Give me Sinner in straight sets at minus 105, and what my opinion is a very cheap price for the consensus best player in the world at this point. Moving on to the next match, you have Laheshka taking on Medvedev, which is not what people thought would happen in the quarterfinals, but you have Medvedev as a minus 168 favorite. Laheshka is plus 148. For the game spread, Laheshka +2.5 is minus 108. Medvedev -2.5 games is minus 112. Over-under for games is set at 22 flat. For the actual set wagering, Laheshka to win a set is minus 160. Medvedev to win straight sets is plus 130. Over 2.5 sets is plus 140. Now, the head-to-head has been pretty much dominated by Medvedev. Just to go through it quickly, Medvedev, I believe, has never dropped a set against Laheshka, but they have not faced on clay. Faced off one time in Wimbledon last year. Laheshka got injured, and Medvedev did win 6-4, 6-2. So nothing really to go with on that, but Laheshka has not dropped a set in this event. Beat Medvedev in straight sets, beat Montero in straight sets, and beat Nadal in straight sets. I don't care how old Nadal is, if you don't end up getting broken and you only face one break point against Nadal on clay, I think you're dangerous against anybody. And that's kind of the one teaching point I want to make quickly. always treat your losses as a learning experience, because we lost money fading Laheshka in the first round. We had Medvedevich on the money line, which you might remember. I watched the match. It was at like 5, 6 a.m. I watched it, and I could tell Laheshka was legit. Like, I knew Laheshka was a very good player, but he was never very good on clay, and he had about a month off without any action. I was wondering how rusty he would look, but instead of getting annoyed and mad at the Medvedevich loss, I tried to learn from it, which is kind of a piece of advice I'll give all of you. Try to learn something. Learn why your bet lost. Don't assume it's all because of bad luck. I saw that Laheshka's serve translated very well to the courts here in Madrid, and that's why we backed him against Nadal, and it paid off. So once again, that's a bit of a betting piece of advice for all of you listening. I know it's annoying, and you're going to be emotional when you lose bets, but try to learn something from these. I feel like if you don't learn anything, you're going to make the same mistake over and over again. So try to learn something, maybe a unique wrinkle on a player, or maybe just something about the actual courts that you're betting on in an event. So keep that in mind. But we ended up learning from that initial loss on Laheshka in the first round to backing him and making money later in the event. But the point is, Medvedev's been vulnerable. Went to three sets in the first two matches, ended up going to three against Arnaldi, went to three against Korda, and then he beat Bublik in straight sets, 7-6, 6-4. Reminder, even though Bublik won the first couple matches in marathons, he's objectively not a good clay player, so Medvedev has really not looked that comfortable in Madrid. He's gotten by, and that counts, but I think Laheshka's actually live here. I think these odds are off. I actually like Laheshka to potentially win the match at plus 148. Give me the games, though, at around +3.5 at minus 140. I like the over, but I see Laheshka maybe even winning this match. I think he's going to be very dangerous. If the serve is as good, it's going to be tough to be as good as it was against Nadal. But if his serve is on point and he can neutralize Medvedev's return game, I think he'll be able to actually do some damage. And you might see a marathon take place, but I see this being more of a coin flip. Medvedev should be favored minus 130, in my opinion, maybe minus 140. 168 is too high. So because of that, give me Laheshka for the value. That's going to wrap it up, though, for the actual preview of the four quarterfinal matches. Now it's time for the lock and dog picks. Before we continue that, do want to quickly remind everybody that we are brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports, and the NBA playoffs are here. Our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting because they have a pick'em game, which is as simple as picking, selecting, a lot of different options, different sports. Select higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. You could also mix and match basketball with other sports like hockey, even tennis. They have esports, I believe. They have everything over at Underdog Fantasy. Underdog's available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. They also have a lot of great tennis lines I mentioned before, but I'll go into detail. Double faults. They have aces, breaks of serve, a lot of unique angles to make tennis watching more interesting. Underdog's also having a lot of promos. They have bonus cash airdrops. They have specials, giveaways, and more throughout the NBA playoffs. So make sure to follow @UnderdogPicks on Twitter to keep an eye out. So once again, Underdog's available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and Canada. And they just launched Champions, their player versus player format in Florida. So make sure to sign up with the code SGPN, and Underdog will double your first deposit of $100. So Underdog Fantasy, promo code SGPN. Welcome back, everyone, to the Tennis Gambling Podcast. I just finished previewing the quarterfinals in Madrid. Now it's time for the lock and dog pick. Starting off with the lock, I am going to go back to the Cerundolo and Fritz match. Give me the over, 22.5 games at minus 125. They have one head-to-head meeting and went to four sets. Yes, they did split the first two sets, so if it was a three-set match, it would have gone over anyway. Both guys have been very good here, so I do think that something's going to have to give. I think Fritz's serve can have a solid impact on the match, but I do think Cerundolo will be able to win a lot of the longer rallies. And with that being the case, I see a very tough, physical, grueling matchup, which is why the over 2.5 sets is set at a cheap number at plus 120. Plus, there's been at least one set with 12-plus games in three of Fritz's last four matches. There's been at least one set with at least 12 games in four of Cerundolo's last five matches. Both guys have seen long sets. You can still theoretically win this in straight sets if you get a couple of long sets, even a 7-6, 6-4. If Fritz repeats his exact scoreline against either Dardari or against a Hurkacz, that lands 23. You still win. So you don't even need necessarily to go three sets in order to get it done. So with that, for that reason, I do like the over in this match as my lock. For my dog, I am going to go to a matchup, the last one between Medvedev and Laheshka. You could take Laheshka money line, but I do question if nerves might get to him and Medvedev's overall rally tolerance can force some unforced errors from Laheshka. So I am going to go with a safer approach. I'm going to go with the team total. I'm going to go with Laheshka team total over 12. I found a flat 12 at even money. So if he ends up winning in straight sets by a wide margin, kind of unlucky, as you would end up landing 12. If it goes to three sets, you kind of automatically win, if we're being honest. And if you end up expecting Laheshka to win, you probably are expecting a breaker or a 7-5. That's a lot of games in one set. But the point is, Laheshka has been a lot more comfortable at this event than Medvedev has. He has not dropped a set yet, including a straight set win against Nadal. Medvedev has gone to a deciding set in two of the three matches here against weak competition or weaker competition. You could argue Arnaldi's more comfortable on clay than Laheshka is, but I think that Laheshka has more upside based on talent. But that went to three sets. He ended up going to another marathon right after it, and then he barely beat Bublik in straight sets, and we know he's not a good clay player at all. But when you're going to three sets against the likes of Arnaldi and the likes of Korda, I'm going to be skeptical of you to actually look very sharp in this matchup. In theory, if Laheshka loses 7-6, 7-6, you get your money back. It's a push. But the point is, if Laheshka wins a set, you basically automatically win, and Laheshka to win a set in this match is minus 160. So I find it's a pretty solid value play if he's that likely to win a set at minus 160, and you can get his team total at even money for over 12. Why would I not just take the team total? I feel like I'm saving like 60 cents, give or take. I know it's not an exact science. You can still get killed in those two sets that he does not win and lose. But in reality, if Laheshka's going to win a set and Medvedev's not going to be that comfortable on clay, I expect to see a couple of long sets. So for that reason, I do like this play quite a bit. So once again, my picks for the quarterfinals here in Madrid, the lock's going to be on Cirundolo and Fritz over 22.5 games at minus 125. The dog's going to be on Laheshka team total over 12 at even money. That's going to wrap it up for this episode. A reminder, we're back once again, not on Wednesday night or Thursday morning, but on Thursday night or Friday morning, because the quarterfinals are divided amongst 2 days. Next episode, obviously, will be on the Madrid semifinals. Until next time, though, find me on Twitter at Rice Show Radio. Find me on the NBA show. Find me on the NFL show. Find me on the WNBA show and the MLB show. A reminder that I'm actually going to be on the main show with Sean and Ryan in about 5 minutes. So if you want to catch me there talking NBA, you can find me there. Until next time, though, good luck to all of you and all of your bets. Bye, everyone.